comment, we will be discussing the bylaws change under new business, but I think we have a motion on the floor.
Yes, Tim, I make a motion to amend the agenda to add public comment, 3 for and 3 against for any topic today.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I second that.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, so do we have the sign-up sheet back there? Can someone bring that this way?
I get it, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Public comments. The first name on here is Caleb Stanton.
And is that 4 or 4?
He has 4.
4, okay.
Caleb Standifer, I live in Lake Wiley. I use the Lake Wiley branch. And I'll tell you, I'm for the services they offer there and many of the books. I enjoy travel and knowing about a wider world. And so I'll go to that branch and look for books about some place I'm thinking about traveling to. They also have books on learning a foreign language, which is very helpful. So I think it's important for our community to see beyond our community, see the wider world, and I appreciate what's being done there. I also appreciate the periodicals and magazines. It's very relaxing to go sit and just peruse different magazines and periodicals. And I also appreciate the Wi-Fi, because when Spectrum Wi-Fi goes out at my house, I can go to the library and take my laptop and get some work done. So I appreciate what the library is doing in Lake Wiley.
Thank you. Elena Herndon, Megan, how do you say that?
It said against the form, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, she's a minor. I didn't know if I should sign up with her, or can I speak with her?
Do we have a policy on that? Can a minor speak?
Why not?
Wouldn't a minor be able to speak?
I think minor would be fine.
That's all right. I'm not sure. So it said against the form, but I'm not sure. I know what we're talking about, but I'm not sure.
I just want to be sure that we're on speaker. Okay.
No. You want me to speak? Sorry about this. I'm a children's book author, and I want to thank York County for carrying my books, because I recently moved to a new land, and they don't have any of them. They said, we'll be happy to order them from York County to be sent over there. So I want to thank you for that. But Ilana is here. She's concerned about an agenda item that we heard about that involves shelving certain books being controversial, but we don't know by who, for children, to be put in the adult sections of the library. And there are lots of different problems with this. I have a book right here, Katie's Tiny Messengers, which is about the woman who created the COVID vaccine. Some people don't believe in the COVID vaccine. Some people do. Her story is incredible. She's Hungarian. And the way that she even managed to get here to study in Philadelphia for 30 years before developing it, it was just extraordinary. So I wrote about it. But there are other books, YA novels, books that are between upper middle grade YA, and some of my friends who are authors, their books have been completely banned from certain libraries, or they're shelved separately, which means a child like Ilana, who is a little bit shy, is not going to come and ask you where to find this book in the adult section. That's too traumatic for them, especially to say it's a gay child who is confused and kind of wants to know, want to read up on how kids who are teenagers develop relationships, how they meet people, whatever. They can't find the book if it's shelved somewhere else. And I think I always took my children, I homeschooled my children. I'm a Christian, devout, born-again Christian, and I homeschooled my 4 children, and my daughter's homeschooling Ilana. So I'm not saying this as a, like, far left anything. Okay, thank you, sorry. I am very, you know, I don't,
Next name on here is Connor Dunlap, against.
What's the time?
2 minutes.
Okay, wanted to make sure I was understanding beforehand. Hi, I'm Connor. I have worked in a public library for most of my adult life. I've gone over this policy as presented, and it is very plainly stated, both discriminatory and unnecessary. If parents don't want their child to read a book, that's something they already have an immense degree of control over. And if we are being frank and realistic here, if your child reads ideas you don't agree with, this should be an opportunity for a family discussion about values, not just saying, just trying to hide them somewhere you hope your kid won't see them. And also, if your collection development staff is doing their job, the idea that we are at risk of anything explicit or sexual being introduced to the children's department is ludicrous at best. A book about a child wanting to try going by a different name might be uncomfortable to some parents, but that doesn't mean it's explicit. Just because it's an idea you do not agree with doesn't mean it shouldn't be present for other children or parents or families to decide it's right for them. Thank you.
Linda Fisher.
My name is Linda Fisher. I've been following this agenda item for a very long period of time. And I want to commend the entire board for being common sense and being open to all sensibilities. I think the key word in the discussion so far has been child. And I think the understanding of a parent over the larger aspects of different issues is something a bit different from what a child understands. And I appreciate the fact that the books are available and that parents can talk to their children about any of these issues because these books are available. And I appreciate the common sense manner in which the board has addressed this, giving a due process thought to everyone's position and allowing everyone to have an opportunity to discuss any issue they want with their child at any time. So thank you very much for your work.
Christine Lekich, Orban.
Yes, I am for it. It's hard to have to piggyback on what Linda said about the common sense approach. And I think I am for libraries, for books. Everybody in this room loves books. We support the library. So it really is sometimes baffling that we can be so antagonistic towards one another. I think we just need to find that common ground. I am for finding that. And we are, and I appreciate the library board for all the work. Again, common sense that you're looking at all sides of an issue. And we are talking about very specific content. Many of the books that were shown look very interesting. I'd like to take a look at them. So we're talking about something very specific, and I wish we could all see that we love our children, that we love reading to our children. And I appreciate that this board is, you focus on our children, protecting their ears, their eyes, their minds, and ultimately saving their lives. Because books and our approach to that does ultimately save their lives and what they're exposed to. So I also appreciate the fact that you've changed the time of your meetings because I think it allows more people to come and, you know, to be able to, I know I see some people shaking heads, but I really do, I mean, it's allowed me to come. I mean, I have a lot of meetings in the evenings, I have family time, so to be able to take time out of my day and come and listen to you and what you are offering, I appreciate the hard work of everyone on this board and how you all, you know, speak out and have taken times out of your lives to serve on this board. So thank you.
And we deserve the dignity of knowing we are welcome at our libraries. We are part of this community, even if some people aren't welcoming and loving enough to know somebody who's willing to be open with them. Our pledge says that we have liberty and justice for all, not just people of one specific church or narrow faith. There are people of all kinds in York County and the surrounding areas that access these books. And kids are also queer. We grow up into queer adults and we find our voice. But I think that people deserve to use parental discretion and their own judgment. We already have amazing librarians who classify books, who review books and determine what is in them and what demographic should access them. We are not perverted or weird. We do not deserve to be pushed out. Thank you.
Yes.
Second. Any discussion on the previous meeting minutes? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Reporter reports. Director Julie, you are up.
Thank you. We'll start with our year-end comparison statistics from June all last year to this year. I don't know if you have any questions, but I want to just point out that we have consistently gone up and up and up in all of our programs and services. Circulation, hotspot use, our virtual programs, our databases. So we are experiencing lots and lots of usage, and that makes us happy. I want to point out that Facebook, or Meta, the company, is no longer recording the number of likes in its own analytics, and so they are only counting followers, which kind of makes more sense anyway. You want to know how many people are following you versus liking certain posts, especially when we do the cross-posting that Facebook does. You've got other libraries who show up on our site, so it's not as accurate as how many people are following us.
And when someone decides not to follow us anymore, that number is deleted?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct. And then I just want to let you know the app, our wonderful app, is up to 1,611 users, which is brilliant. So easy to access the catalog that way. That's all I'm going to say about stats before I let you all know, unless you have any questions, let you know about our electrical upgrade at Rock Hill that we've been waiting a couple years for. Finally went out to bid. This building was built in 1980, and so you can imagine the electrical upgrade is well needed. We band-aided as we can, added panels as we can, but this is a well-needed upgrade. So where we are is the bid went out, and we have a pre-bid walkthrough of those people who are interested in bidding. We're doing that next week. So after that, we expect that it'll be a couple more weeks. I don't want to hem in the county with the deadline that isn't true, but it generally is a couple more weeks before the bid is awarded. When the bid is awarded is when we all go to work with the logistics of what that means. So until the contractor is hired and comes through, we can't talk about phases, openings, closings. We can't talk about all of that in any defining or definitive or finite way. We have all talked about it at least two or three times over the last couple of years. So we've got plans in place. We just need the contractor to outline what it's all going to look like. And as soon as we know something, you all will know something, and the public will know. But it will involve some kind of closing of this building at times. And I don't have any more information in terms of how long that will be, because it could be phases again. So once I have that information, we're going to get it to you. Okay?
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Okay. Treasurer report, Dennis.
Yes, I'd like to call your attention.
into the, I'm going to speak for a while, Pam will speak, we're going to two-time this, but I'll call your attention to our statement of revenues and expenditures. Shows through the month end June 30th, and I will say that that is a soft June 30th. We are not officially closed. It takes a little while to close with final bills coming in and things like that. So this is not the definitive year-end report. This is our view for June 30th, but it will be subject to change. And the salient item is all the way down at the bottom. And this year, tentatively, we're talking about, it's labeled excess of revenue. A more appropriate term would be called surplus, which is basically we underspent our budget. It shows you there all the line items and all the negatives. A couple were over, but overall, we've spent about 95% of our budget this year. So that surplus, when it's exactly defined at the official year end, we will make a motion then to apply that to our fund balance. Is how we where we appropriate the surplus at this time. So that's, again, there's really nothing to talk about in the sense you can look. We're for a $10 million budget in round numbers. This is so wonderful. It's not hard to describe. The staff just does an excellent job at maintaining their budget numbers. And indeed, where they underspent was probably just something that happened that year that didn't cause them to spend it. But you'll see that, you know, in terms of books, periodicals, AV material, we're totally spending the whole budget. So that ends that little presentation, unless there's anybody have any questions on this year-end statement. Pardon, not year-end, June 30th statement. Okay, then moving on, I'm going to let Pam talk about our fifth budget draft. And as they say, the fifth one is the charm. but it's precipitated by some good news. We actually, not to get too complicated, but our funding is based on a mill rate that the county assigns, and we get, Kevin, help me with that, so many mills.
4.6.
And so you take 4.6 times the mill rate, and that gives you your number. Well, the mill rate sometimes is a floating number and not necessarily defined. It's somewhat a projected number, actually. But the county has finalized the mill rate projection for next year's budget, which precipitated a $80,000 more funding to the library. And then we have other good news of an internal contingency that we had thought we were gonna have bear an expense through, depending on the federal law funding changes. And that turned out to be an expense we don't have to bear. So in essence, we're putting another $72,000 into our budget. So what Pam is gonna discuss is the reallocation of $152,700 to increase our budget for this year. With Pam, with that introduction.
Great, thank you, Dennis. So I'm gonna read down the spreadsheet that we're used to, the budget request, but I'll also be referring to the talking points that are in the Word document that accompanies that. So we'll go back and forth between the two. As Dennis mentioned, the mill rate did increase by, I believe it was $17,500 per mill, so that gave us an extra $80,500, which changed our total revenues to $10,298,114. Then we are reallocating $72,200 that was previously set aside in case the E-rate funding for our internet service fell through. However, the Supreme Court did uphold that congressional allocation, so we can reallocate that money. So we've got a couple of changes here. Electronic reference, I've increased by a very small amount, $9,000, and we're putting that all towards OverDrive and Libby for our audiobooks and online books, which are in very high demand. We overspent that budget this past year, so we're trying to accommodate that for next year. That is the red one for electronic records, the $1.221 million.
Okay. And that was for overdrive and for living?
Correct. Then
Carol, you have this other sheet that gives it to you specifically.
It's okay. The next number that's in red is the insurance number. We've increased that by $20,000 to allow us to purchase some additional liability insurance specific to the board of directors. Our building maintenance fund, we increased by $50,500 as a contingency for that electrical upgrade. Our understanding is that once the bid comes into county, that is the price that county will pay for those repairs. And if the actual work comes in over that, the library would be responsible for the overage. Am I understanding that correctly?
No.
Okay.
If they get in there, and again, the county will maintain the facility, we own the facilities. You know, the $50,000 is the magic sort of number. You all take care of the $50,000. This is a project over $50,000, and it's funded out of our reserve fund. So let's say if the bids come in, I'll just make up numbers. These are not the numbers. Let's say $1 million. And when they get in there tearing the walls, they come up with something and need an extra $50,000. That would still come out of the county's reserve fund.
Okay.
So y'all are going to be good on that.
Okay.
This would be for our own, like, pods and contingency
I understand.
Location.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That was my misunderstanding. So that will allow us, like, storage when we have to move things out of the library and all that. That makes sense. My apology for my misunderstanding. That's okay. All right. So that's that red number. The next red number is on the back of the sheet in professional fees. We are adding $50,000 for the strategic planning committee, as we know that they're going to have some expenses coming up when it comes time to do the facilities needs assessment and other assessments that they might need. So that $50,000 is there for strategic planning. And then a small change in our programs. We added $1,000 for our genealogy expo. It was a request that was previously overlooked, and I was able to get that into this budget because of that increase. And then finally, under capital outlay, the remaining $22,200 we've put in here, there are these things called privacy booths that a lot of libraries are starting to put in to allow people to have private enclosed areas to do things like job interviews or online doctor's appointments, things like that. So we are looking into potentially purchasing a couple of those for the Rock Hill branch here. And that brings our total expenditures to round out the budget at $10,298,114.
Thank you. Are there any questions about this?
I've got some questions.
Okay.
I'd like to have fully explained why we need to spend $20,000 on higher liability insurance for the board. My understanding is that we are protected by the county's umbrella policy. And I don't see the need for us to spend $20,000 on additional insurance. I'd also like to know if any other county board has additional insurance above and beyond what the county already pays for. Madam, do you know? Is any other board get additional insurance?
Not that I'm aware of, sir.
Why do we need it?
Okay, let me explain it to you. We've talked about this numerous times, but we'll talk about it again. In the South Carolina State Library Reference Manual, page 45, says, although suits brought against library board members are not common, members are at risk and need to protect themselves. Even if a lawsuit is without merit, the library may still incur costs to defend this board against legal action. Governing boards can protect themselves by purchasing directors and officers' liability for members and employees.
The fact that we may do it doesn't mean we have to do it. I'd like to ask the county attorney Do you feel that we need to have this additional insurance coverage?
I'd be happy to address that in executive session, the appropriate matter, your service.
So the public doesn't get to hear what this is needed?
Be advice to the body. I can provide that.
We will be further discussing that under new business. All right, any more discussion?
Yeah, I want to talk about the privacy piece. Have we talked to other libraries that have had the, that have had any problems that come with them?
We haven't even, we haven't reached out with references, if that's what you're asking.
Well, we got it in the budget. I guess my concern is, one would be have them sanitize these things after people use them.
We do occasionally have to sanitize our regular furniture too.
I hope to God we never have another pandemic. But I remember my doctor telling me that the virus from COVID would linger 15 minutes or longer in a closed space. And I wonder if these things are really needed.
So they would act as study rooms. They would give us more flexibility because one of the repetitive comments that we get from people using the library is they wish that we had study rooms, quiet study rooms, and this would serve as that.
Now these, the ones we're talking about, would accommodate two people or one person or what?
One. We were thinking of doing 1-2-1-1.
Okay. Are you concerned about people using it to place to sleep?
Well, that's why the appeal is that it has a glassed front, and it would be, for example, here in Rock Hill, it would be upstairs and visible to staff. Okay. So what, for example, I worked in a library that had study rooms that you signed up for,
right.
And not only would we just monitor, you'd have a limited amount of time that you could go in there as well. Okay.
That would be the policy you
would? Yeah, otherwise people would take it all day and not get it.
First come, first serve for limited time. Okay.
So, this one is obviously is glass on or with all the sides.
That's right.
That one is not.
That's just single.
That would be more for a group. But I do like the idea that it would be visible from both sides. If it wouldn't be pressed against the wall, obviously that one would be.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Treasurer.
I move that we adopt version 5, July 10, 2025, budget as presented.
Do I have a second?
I second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
One opposed. All right, we move on to, is that all for Treasurer? Cool. Thank you all. We move on to standing committees. Strategic Plan Committee members are Carol Herring, she's the chair, Terry Blum, and Laura Milam. Policy Committee members are Dennis Jetter, he's the chair, Susan Pining, Nancy Nicholson. I'm leaving the committee members the same for our next fiscal year, because you all are doing a superb job on both of those committees, and I really appreciate all the hard work and hours that you all put in on this. No one knows how many hours you have to work on these type things for free, and I appreciate that greatly. So, reports, strategic planning report. Carol?
We met at 11:30 simply to go over the SWOT process, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats that we will actually be working on in our August meeting with all of you. And I'll be reaching out just to be sure that you would be available early for that. The idea that we will have 10 or 11 of us, we will divide down the middle. We have four areas we will look at. Facilities and programs and services, the collection and staffing, those four areas. So what are the strengths of each, what are the weaknesses of each, opportunities that we have, and then threats to moving forward that we would encounter. So just next month, know you have a little bit longer meeting, and we will begin looking at that. We will have, we already have input from the staff. We haven't seen it yet. It will be available. We are holding that back because we would like not, we don't want that to in any way influence the things that we might say. So our strengths might be completely different from what a staff member might see. Their weaknesses will be from the inside. Ours will probably be from the outside. So that is the way we will tackle that in order to get started for a strategic plan that will be covering those four areas and perhaps others if they're identified during our next meeting.
Very good. Thank you, Carol. All right, and then the policy committee update.
The policy committee has met, I believe, twice in the last month in a workshop format. We have another workshop scheduled for next Monday. These are all posted and public is invited. We are not to the point yet of having any voting yet because we're still accumulating information and having discussions about various sections. Our goal is to have, as I said, this workshop meeting next week, then to pass what we have available on to our county attorney who's being notified right now, just make sure that what we're putting down passed muster with him. Depending on his comments when he come back, we'll either have a official meeting to approve the policy or go to another workshop meeting to discuss his comments. So either way, we are going to be meeting probably weekly with the 1 week off for Michael to review the materials. And our plan is to have the policy approved in the committee level to present to the total board at the next August meeting.
Very good. Thank you all. Unfinished business, we do not have any. New business, bylaws, public comment. The chair recognizes Carol Harris.
Can I just read this word for word?
Sure.
Do you want the whole thing? All right. Section 5, public comment. The board may allow public comments at board meetings and, if allowed, will listen but will not respond. Persons wishing to address the board should sign the sheet provided by the secretary prior to the beginning of the meeting. The first four people who sign the sheet will be heard during public comments. Each speaker shall have a 2-minute time limit. There will be a maximum of 4 speakers at any board meeting. The board will hear no more than 4 speakers. Anyone who makes a public comment must be a York County resident and state name and address as verification. The speaker etiquette, all citizens who wish to address the board should do so in a calm and appropriate manner. The board wants to hear concerns or complaints but will not tolerate personal attacks on individual members, library staff, or any other person or group, including the use of demeaning or vulgar language. The board's number one priority is to conduct business for all citizens of this county.
Okay, so we have a motion. Do we have a second? Nancy has a second. Do we have any discussion?
I object to the fact that we are going backward. We've had a policy for some time of 6 people speaking. We had that today. Only one of those persons used a full 2 minutes. Everybody else was very succinct. To the point, and it was done in less than 2 minutes. I personally think we should have a public comment period of 30 minutes, what the county council has. I think what the patrons of our libraries have to say is important, and we should be able to devote 30 minutes once a month, one time a month for 30 minutes. This is restrictive. It's going back. Pretty clear the motivation is that we don't really want to hear what people have to say. We're more concerned about our feelings than we are really learning about what the public has to say. So I'm against this amendment.
Okay,
Daniel.
Okay. Listen, you all, is your one warning that if it's disruptive, this fine officer will be escorting a disruptive person out of the building. Thank you. Okay, do we have any more discussion?
You could take me, sir. That was unnecessary.
Okay, is that the only one right there?
Oh, yeah, public support's very disruptive.
Any more discussion?
I agree. I think the six is fine. Okay.
And I can amend. I can amend.
I would like to make a motion to amend to increase the number of speakers to six.
I'll second that motion. That amendment.
So do we vote on?
We need to vote on the amendment. Okay, we have an amendment to the motion. Do we have a second?
We have a second.
Terry seconded.
Okay, so all in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so before we vote on the, is there any more discussion? Before we vote on the amended motion, Carol, I need to read the amended motion to us.
We'll change it to six.
Please. Yeah.
Okay. Can we just read that part or the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Okay. The board may allow public comments at board meetings and, if allowed, will listen but will not respond. Persons wishing to address the board should sign the sheet provided by the secretary prior to the beginning of the meeting. The first six people who sign the sheet will be heard during public comments. Each speaker shall have a 2-minute time limit. There will be a maximum of six speakers at any board meeting. The board will hear no more than six speakers. Anyone who makes a public comment must be a York County resident and state name and address as verification.
Okay, and then the speaker etiquette, I guess, read that part too.
The speaker etiquette. Any all citizens who wish to address the board should do so in a calm and appropriate manner. The board wants to hear concerns or complaints but will not tolerate personal attacks on individual members, library staff, or any other person or group, including the use of demeaning or vulgar language. The board's number one priority is to conduct business for all citizens of this county.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Okay, I do have one question. Who made the motion the very first time this was read? I have Nancy as a second, but who made the original motion?
You did. That's what I thought.
You made the original motion.
Well, that's what I was going to write down, but I thought there had. I thought I heard somebody else. Okay, so it's me. All right. It's that voice in my head.
Yeah.
Did you capture it?
All right, we got that. Let's see. Okay, public entity liability and employment practices liability insurance. I would like to make a motion. Let me hand this out. Right. Okay, I move that the staff purchase additional insurance for library board members known as public entity liability and employment practices liability insurance.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, I'm against this for reasons previously stated. I think it's a waste of money. I think our coverage is adequate with the county. I think every other board the county points doesn't have this. Our reason that we're special. There is some concern as board that we might get sued if we adopt a certain policy on books. I think if we do our job,
we're not getting into personal attacks or doing something that would be offensive, illegal. We don't need this protection, and we could have $20,000 to be better spent on a lot of things.
Okay, any more discussion? All right, before we vote out, we'll read it one more time. I move that the staff purchase additional insurance for library board members known as public entity liability and employment practices liability insurance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
All right. Adopt county FOIA fees.
Was there a second on your motion, sir? Yeah. I second.
Dennis. Yes. That was Dennis, right?
Adopt county FOIA fees. I move that the York County Library Board adopt the FOIA fees policy that York County already has in place. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
I'm not sure what that policy is. You said the county would be copying the county's policy.
Yes.
Well, I want to have it explained to what the county policy is before I vote on it.
Okay. Don't have that, but does anyone else have to see that before voting on it?
It's a policy establishing the charges that can be tallied against a requester for information if it's when it's voluminous or non-electronic form. Oftentimes there's a cost with determining what forms are to be produced, and under the law you're allowed to give an estimate of the costs, not produce in response to the request for information until those costs are paid, and then if less time is utilized in researching and providing the documents, then as estimated, you refund the difference to the requester. It's a provision that state law allows for, and my understanding is that the library does not have a policy to charge fees and costs for certain requests.
Right, and basically what the state law says is that if it's an electronic document, you can't kind of charge a copying fee. You can allocate charge a fee for the time involved.
Yes, sir.
It also recommends that the person that retrieved that information be the lowest priced person available.
Capable to respond capable to that request.
In
yes,
our
sir, that's
case,
right.
I understand that that would not be the lowest priced staff member. It would be someone relatively high in administration because you have to be a certain level to access this information. Is that correct, Julie?
Yeah, but I think I only heard that at tail end. You said a capable
yes,
person.
Yes, the law allows for those at whatever level that may be.
Yeah,
but the lowest cost
right.
of those
capable.
Able to respond to
yeah.
the specific request. It may be different depending on the request. In
yeah.
a larger organization,
right.
there might be varying degrees
so
of responses.
Covered.
Well, let me ask this. There have been several FOI requests in recent weeks. What amount of time would you say has been allocated towards your time and or your staff time in getting this information?
So we have to shut down all your emails.
Right.
And then the two IT workers who work on this have other things to do. So I can't say a lump sum of time, but it usually takes 2 to 3 days.
But they're not working full time doing this.
That's why I'm saying I don't have an accurate chunk to tell you at this meeting because they do it over a period of time.
So
we cannot tell people today.
If you make an FOI request what we're going to charge you.
No, we would. Okay, so to charge them, you'd have to know the going rate of the IT person and then have them document the amount of time it took, and then that's how we would know the charge afterwards.
Can we give a rough estimate?
Yes.
Are we talking about a few dollars or a few $100?
It depends on the salary of the person. If the person is $25 an hour and it takes 6 hours, that's the amount.
So it would be $125 or $150.
Right.
Okay.
That's good.
I would request that before we vote on this, we have Julie come back and give us an estimate of what it's going to cost people based on the requests we've had in recent times. I mean, we're talking about telling people, oh yeah, you can have information, but if it costs you $150 or more, I'd like to be able to say what that is.
Have we charged for any of the FOIAs so far? With regard to emails, no.
It might help Judy to explain, when you say you have to shut down emails, people need to understand what's involved in that.
Sure. Well, you all know that you don't have your access to emails for the days that it takes
but
us.
Telling the public why that has to be done. In other words, why you just can't go to your computer and send somebody what they ask for. There's a reason for that.
There's a reason for that because everybody creates their own passwords. And so for us to access those passwords, we have to first change them out. And then we have to go back in and, according to the dates and the subject matter, go through each person's email to find the applicable information that they're looking for. And then after that, it's copying into PDF and then uploading into a zip file times 7 people, or it could be 9, me and Martin. So that's where the effort goes to in that case.
Well, again, I think that we ought to have a better detailed estimate of what these costs are going to be before we vote on this.
Okay, any other discussion? All right, let me read it one more time. We'll vote on it. If it gets turned down, then we'll investigate further. But it's a very simple thing here. I move that the York County Library Board adopt the FOIA fees policy that York County already has in place. Do I have a second?
It was second.
It was already second. Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
Nay.
Okay,
Dennis,
one nay.
You seconded, right?
All right, next up is discussion of the referendum. Kevin Madden, if you could share some of your wisdom and knowledge, we would greatly appreciate it.
Very open-ended topic. I'm just going to hold about this for Dennis early before the meeting. Dennis, you want to give me a high-level overview, and I'm glad your kid is here to chime in as well, since he's the real expert on this, of what exactly with the referendum you want, the information you're wanting.
Right now, the board here has never been through a referendum that I'm aware of. Maybe, Julie, you were with the first one?
No.
Okay, the only thing I know about referendums right now is that we had one years ago, and it failed. So the first thing you do, if you did something before and it failed, you better learn why it failed so you don't repeat it. So the first thought I had is, let's find out why it failed. Obviously, you don't follow down that road again, but we all know that it's pretty obvious, though I've been corrected in my public comments about needing more libraries. That being said, I still believe libraries are needed, and we have a lot of expansion to do. And that's why the strategic committee is working very hard on that. So just a little bit about what we've been told in the end, whatever they come up with, it's obviously going to be new buildings. That requires a referendum, and we're going to have to go to taxpayers for the money. So that's my general overview. Please fill in the blanks.
I'll just give very high-level information about this. Well, I've seen successful referendums versus referendums that haven't worked. The successful referendums usually have data. They've done their homework, they make a strong case, they've got a lot of information out there for voters to analyze. You can look at the Penny's referendum, the first one barely passed. Since then, there's consistently very high pass rate on those because we've got a proven track record. You know, I can speculate as to why the last one failed, and my speculation would be the location and a lack of enough data to support a library here in Rock Hill, downtown Rock, a new one. I believe the library's plan, if I'm following the budget correctly, is to have a study done, to have some data to back stuff up. I think that'd be very imperative. And you're going to have to get a certain, you know, to get the actual referendum in place. I'll let Michael speak to that because I don't know the legalities about that. But I think you have to have this. Does council have to bless that referendum to go?
Yes, there are different means to get a referendum for the public. There's one by petition, and there's options that the council can initiate. I would just have to understand what's being requested and see if there's a bond issue associated with it, what the approach is. But certainly it's calling a certain question to vote for the public to act upon.
I think another is two. One, I think, requires 10% of your registered voters. It might have to sign a 15% sign a petition, which would be a very tall task. I think
what percentage? 15% registered voters?
Yes, sir.
I think the other one going through county council would probably be the path of least resistance.
County council can also, but they have to understand the requirements under each approach.
And can I ask you to back up and explain to the public why a referendum is required? Dealing with the state law, is that how much indebtedness you could have?
There's a cap on indebtedness.
Based on a percentage of the property values,
yes,
correct?
Yes, sir.
So in other words, we don't know how much the county council could just say, okay, we're going to spend that money as opposed to going to referendum.
Yes. I'd have to know more details about the approach and what's being requested to really definitively answer your question. But the cap is always a concern.
Right.
And the question on bonded indebtedness is also
a state law. It's not the county.
It is a state law.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I just think people need to understand that.
I mean, I think this referendum, from what I've heard about it over here, I believe this board's going to do the necessary work. I would run everything through Michael Kendry to make sure you're doing it the right way. But getting the data gathered, building your case, and making sure the public understands what they're voting on. We've had multiple successful referendums here in York County. And in York County, the people that have put those forth have usually done a very good job of proving their case and explaining to the voters why this makes sense. And there'll be a question they'll be voting on, and that's very important as well to put that together. And again, I make sure you work with Michael Kendry's office on that particular question. And that's where I think some of the nuances, and I don't think we're going to details discussed tonight. Are you going to issue debt? How are you going to do this and that? My guess would be, knowing what the library has in the bank, you're going to need to issue some debt for this, and basically that referendum would make the debt payments on that debt is how that process would work.
The debt would be to the library or to the county government, your general obligation bond, right?
It would not be the county's general obligation bonds. We have a finite amount of GO debt we can issue over here.
Right.
And it can be done a variety of ways. I think, the debt is being issued is when you decide exactly how you're going to do that. We've taken some double-barrel approaches on some debt issuance to take advantage of the county's AAA bond rating. But I can't speak definitively as to how that would work at this point. I just don't have that information.
But the county has to be the one issuing the bond, right? We don't have any revenue to come to pay off.
I understand the particulars, happy to report back at the next meeting, but once we have the particulars, what's being sought, we can answer those questions for you.
Well, we're a long way from that. But a couple other questions I've got. Can we have a standalone referendum, or does it have to be part of the general election?
It can be standalone. It can be standalone. I would encourage anybody doing a referendum to do the referendum in conjunction with the general election. We had a school district do a referendum on an odd Saturday. It failed.
Right.
You want to typically make sure, because you look sneaky when you're doing that way, just to be candid. I like to do with the general election, whether it be, every 2 years, which one you pick. But you're going to get the most voter turnout, and I always think that's the best way to go about doing that. When you try to do it on a random Saturday, it's usually not a good look.
There's another line of thought on that. One is that libraries generally are very popular with people.
Yes, sir.
More popular than schools. And so there's a good argument to have a standalone election. The other thing is that you can rally your forces and support to come out, and the opponents are less likely to come out. But this is an important point. There's no way that a bond referendum for a new library is going to pass in York County without the concerted effort of a lot of people who basically are the patrons of the library. They've got to get organized. They're going to have to raise money, because I believe I'm right on this. Under state law, we can't spend library money promote a referendum.
That's right.
And just like county council can't spend county money to promote a referendum, that means the public, either individuals or a foundation, has to raise a significant amount of money to promote a referendum. Otherwise, it's going to fail. And that means somebody other than this board is going to take the leadership and start building the resources needed. We need a independent, tax-free, nonprofit foundation out there to raise the money to have a referendum. When and I may be wrong on this, but my understanding of Pennies for Progress, the only reason that passed was that they basically, somebody subcontracted to the York County Chamber of Commerce, whatever it's called now, the Chamber of Commerce, who had the expertise in promoting the referendum, but the Pennies for Progress had a outside party organizing the campaign, and we would have to do the same thing. Someone would have to do the same thing for a library referendum.
I don't think you're exactly correct on the chamber supported the Pennies for Progress referendum,
right.
But it wasn't like they were outside hired. And you're correct, the library can't spend taxpayer dollars in referendum. I will reiterate, I think it's usually best practice to have a referendum in conjunction with a general election.
Right.
You want the highest voter turnout because, you know, to your point, you can rally the troops to come vote. So you try to get everybody to know to come vote on a random Saturday. That's generally not viewed very well in the public. You want to, just my honest opinion, you want to have the public as informed as many people to come out and vote as possible on this to make sure you get what the public wants. And that's why I'm not a fan of the random September Saturday referendum votes. Because they used to work, and school districts across the state have done that, but I said that's not worked so much lately, because what you have happen is a lot of people come out and get irritated you're trying to sneak something by. And I would advocate that you try to be as transparent as possible about this as a front. To your point, libraries are popular, and York County Library has a lot of things to brag about, and so y'all should want everybody in the county, as many people as possible, to come out and vote.
Is there not a fee for any time you have an election? If it's a separate election, it is expensive, right? Unless it's put with, say, the general
there's
election in November.
Yeah. Yes,
right?
Yeah, there's a fee.
So
yeah.
That would just be an additional cost that would
yes.
actually make sense.
Yep, you're right.
Okay,
well, thank you all. That's a lot of good input. Appreciate everybody's time and effort. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
No, we'll make that motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Thank you all.